Thessalonians. I hope you have a notepad or something you can write down some of these scriptures tonight. I felt like, not that I would ever feel like Jesus, but I felt like a statement that Jesus made whenever Amy got down and walked a while ago. I started turning around to Jamie and said, "Will thou go also?" But I thought, okay, she's going to stay. Now Jamie's done run off and left me this evening. So I'm up here all alone. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'd like to preach tonight, like to teach tonight, like to teach, preach, preach, teach around this thought tonight, the doctrine of the rapture. The doctrine of the rapture. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. When you find that tonight, would you stand with us please and say amen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You can be seated. Father, good God in heaven, Lord, as we humbly bow in your presence this hour, Lord, we pray for your grace, God, for your mercy. God, we pray for your blessing tonight, Lord, upon this message. I pray to God, Lord, that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. I ask you tonight, God, to hide us behind the shadow of the cross. I pray, God, that you cleanse our mind, empty us of self, and fill us with your spirit. Help me tonight, Lord God, not to say anything that I should not say, but help me to say everything that you would have me to say. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you'd help me tonight, Lord God, to glorify thy name. God, we love you. Pray, God, you'd save the sinner, reclaim the backslider, and encourage the child of God. We give you praise, honor, and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Together the church says, amen. 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 Tonight, we read this scripture and we depend on this scripture quite a bit. And we go to this scripture quite a bit. But the Lord, just a few days ago, the Lord was dealing with my heart concerning the doctrine of the rapture. And just to be quite honest with you, I've read, I've studied a little bit, but I have never taught or never preached on the doctrine of the rapture. And that's where I feel led tonight, that the Lord has laid on our heart tonight. This is also, if you ever hear somebody use the word eschatology, that simply means relating to death or judgment or your final destiny. Of your soul and humankind. Tonight we find this evening that the word rapture is not in your King James Bible. I don't know if you realize that or not, but if you look tonight at verse number 17 tonight, we find the Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be," look at these next two words, "caught up." Caught up. Those two words tonight, together in the Greek, simply are translated out of the word harpazo, H-R-P-A-Z-O. But in Latin, the Latin word for the two English words caught up simply is rapture. Rapture. So that tonight is where we get the word rapture. That is where tonight we get the terminology tonight. And that word tonight, rapture, it means to be caught up. It means to be taken. It means simply, according to the Strong's King James Bible Dictionary, it means to carry off by force, to seize on, claim for oneself eagerly to snatch out of the way. Can I tell you tonight, when the rapture of the church happens, we're not going to have an option if we're saved. You say, "Preacher, I'm afraid of heights." I don't believe you'll be afraid of heights whenever the rapture of the church takes place. We see tonight the rapture of the church tonight, according to the word of God. The Bible says tonight, "For the Lord himself," in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And that's where we want to try to spend the majority of our evening at tonight, is the dead in Christ shall rise first. For some of you tonight that may put the preacher on a timer, I'm going to put myself on a timer, because I could probably preach about 4 hours on this tonight. So we're going to try to be cognizant of that. Don't get nervous, all right? I've already taken roll to see who gets up and leaves. Amen? I want you to know tonight that the Bible teaches in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you've got that, go there tonight. In just a minute, we're going to go there. We're going to read a verse of Scripture tonight, but we want to look at the context of the Word of God. I believe tonight that we ought to understand what the Word of God is telling us. Well, preacher, what does exactly that mean? "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." First of all, before we talk about the dead, let's talk about what it means to be in Christ. Amen? What it means to be in Christ is to die. Amen? To die out to self. What I mean by that tonight is to be born again. Jesus in John 3, according to the Word of God, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee that ye must be born again." What's that mean, preacher? That means tonight that if you've been born twice, that means that you only have to die once. Amen? What's that mean, preacher, when you say that? I was born July of 1973, and I do not remember that birth. That was my first birth. But I remember that there came a time that I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of my sin. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And according to the Word of God and His promise, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of me, according to the Word of God. And I was able to have a spiritual birth. Now that birth is my second birth. What about dying, preacher? Well, when I was born the second time, I died out to self. I died out to the world. I died out of the flesh. Amen. And the flesh is dead, according to the Word of God. And I have become a new creature in Christ. Amen. The Word of God says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." So if we lose a loved one today and they have been in Christ, we have a hope of seeing them again. Amen. We have a hope of seeing them again. Amen. The book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians in just a moment. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, 36, and 37, we see that the dead in Christ are planted. Let me explain what I mean by that in just a moment. The Bible says, but some man will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened," that means to made alive, "except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of grain some other grain." Pastor, what are you telling me tonight? Well, before I answer that, go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8 tonight, if I'm not mistaken on that scripture. If you found 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight, let's go back up and pick up number 6 as well. If you found verse 6, we say amen. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body," let's stop right there. Right now, if you're alive, your body is your home. It is your temple. It is your house of clay. The Spirit lives inside of you. Your soul lives inside of you, according to the Word of God. Look in verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Amen. What's that mean, Pastor? That means I'm not in heaven. Amen. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's a parenthetical statement. We have not seen the Lord yet, but we're going to. But look in verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Pastor, what's so special about that? What's so special about that tonight is when you die, thank God, and they take you and the funeral home comes and gets a hold of you, they're not getting you, they're getting your house. They're getting your temple. They're getting the old body of clay. And according to the Word of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When they lay me down in the graveyard. Marissa's here tonight, and her mama used to sing that song, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." We're talking about Sister Wilma tonight. Amen. Do you realize tonight, whenever they lay that body in the graveyard, do you realize tonight, honey, that I'm not going to be there? Amen. That's just this old vessel of clay. That's this old house of clay. Just a speck of dirt. It's fallen apart. Amen. Things that used to be toned are now wrinkled. Things that used to be black are now gray. Things that used to be slim are now fat. Amen. But do you realize tonight that one day I'm going to lay my body down, and I, Brother Dennis, am going to go and see the Lord. And do you realize tonight that that house of clay, amen, it is not possible that the flesh and the blood that you have, or the flesh and the blood that I have, it is not possible for that to go to heaven. It is impossible for your flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of heaven, but you can inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. We find tonight that according to the book of Romans chapter 8, if you've got a notepad or something, write that down. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through verse 23. We're going to read there. I want you to see tonight that the dead in Christ are waiting. Amen. We're not sleeping. Amen. The Bible does not teach in the New Testament under the dispensation of grace. It does not teach the doctrine of soul sleeping. You understand that tonight? When they bury you, if you're born again, and they bury you in the graveyard, you're not going out there to take a nap until somebody wakes you up. That old body of clay, your spirit's not in it. It's an empty vessel. Thank God tonight, honey, that we can be in a spirit of hope. Because whenever death has snuck up on us, and whenever that the grave has overtaken us, it can have my body, but it cannot have my soul. It cannot have my spirit. And do you realize tonight what a joy it is to know that we can go home and be with the Lord Jesus Christ? We find tonight here in the book of Romans, you say, "Preacher, what do you mean the dead in Christ are waiting?" Amen. Brother Steve Moles will say this from time to time. He talks about that gentleman that used to sing on Calvin Ray Evans in that wheelchair. He'd quote that verse out of the book of Job, that he's just waiting on his change. Do you know what we're waiting on? We're just waiting on changing addresses. Amen. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Watch now. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Let me go back tonight, and I want to pick up verse 21 one more time, because I don't think we realize what that said. Because the creature, who's the creature? You are. I am. We are not the creator. We didn't evolve from a monkey. Amen. God is the creator and we are the creature. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Look in 21. Because the creature itself, you and I, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Let me pause right there a minute. Our vessels are corrupt. I don't mean to upset your apple cart. God knows you're as pretty as a cherry pie, okay? But listen, we're not as pretty as maybe we used to be. If you don't laugh at me, you better pray for me. You get out the old magnifying glass and look at your sheets tonight. You'll find tonight that as soon as you were born, you started dying. Yeah, amen. Job spoke and said, the skin worms devour my flesh. Listen now, your body is constantly shedding millions of skin cells a day. Constantly. Remember what God said, that he knew the number of the hair upon your head. Some are less, some are more. Tommy, you got a whole bushel and a peck full more than I do. Preacher, what are you saying tonight? And God knows every single one of those. People have looked for years for the fountain of youth. We're not going to find the fountain of youth, but you can find the fountain of life. Jesus told the woman at the Samaritan well, if thou knewest who I was, thou would ask of me a drink of water, and I would give unto thee a well of water springing up in thee unto eternal life. Pastor, what are you saying tonight? Look back in verse 21. This body is in a bondage of corruption. You say, preacher, I'm not in bondage. Amen. You just believe that all you want to tonight, okay? There are things in my body that I cannot do at 50. Yeah, 50. That I used to be able to do at 49. Yeah. Amen. And there's a lot. Some of you young pups out there, you'll learn the hard way. Arthritis is not our friend. The older we get, some of these youngins just looking at me. Back here on the back are just looking at me like, who's arthritis? Who's he talking about? One day they soon will find out. This old flesh is corrupt. Amen? Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, you and I together, groaneth and travaileth. Some of us groan a little more. Amen? And travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, and I say amen right there, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. You know what the first fruit of the Spirit is? The Spirit of God. When you were saved, amen. Let me stop right here. Somebody hit on it last weekend, maybe. Might have been John, might have been Isaiah Hatfield last week. I don't know who it was. But I have to say amen. Lazarus died. He rose from the dead, but he died again. The little boy down there at Nain, he died. Jesus touched him. He rose from the dead, but he had to die again. What's so special about that, preacher? Jesus is the first fruits that rose from the dead. Jesus rose never to die again. And when you are saved, his Spirit comes inside of you. Amen. Yes, sir. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's the first fruit, is the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. But watch this. waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, some of you right now just had a horrible thought. You mean I'm going to have to walk around in this old flesh all of eternity? No, no. In a moment and the twinkling of an eye, this corruption shall put on incorruption. Amen. This mortal will put on immortality. Amen. Ain't no grave going to hold me down. Pastor, what are you saying tonight? I want you to know tonight, the book of 1 Thessalonians shows us tonight in verse number 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But back there in the book of Romans tonight, if you've got a pen or a pencil, write this down in verse number 9. I want you to get this. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let me pause right here for just a moment. If an individual, let's say John Doe, dies, and John Doe is not a Christian, he has no hope of going to be with the Lord. John Doe has no hope of going to be with the Lord. Whenever John Doe dies, they have lived their life in heaven on earth, because their life on earth is going to be greater than how they spend eternity. Amen. What's that mean, Pastor? According to the Word of God, the Gospel, according to Luke, we find, according to the Word of God, let's just read that together tonight. Can we do that tonight? Because I can tell tonight that I might be losing some, and we never want to lose anybody tonight. The Gospel according to St. Luke this evening. The Gospel according to St. Luke this evening. Let me find it here in chapter 15 or chapter 16. Chapter 16 tonight. We find tonight, according to the Word of God, down around verse number 19 is where we'll pick up. Thank you, Steve. We'll pick up tonight in verse number 19 tonight. They're all right. You come on in here tonight. Verse number 19, if you don't have the ability tonight to go there, write it down. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Let me stop right there. This is not the Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Chapter 16, verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know what? Tonight we're reading tonight. What we are looking at is a true depiction tonight of the sinner whenever they died. The rich man was the sinner, and according to the Word of God, in hell he lift his eyes. Amen. According to the Word of God, the sinner died, and in hell he lift his eyes. According to the Word of God, whenever Lazarus died, Lazarus, he might have been a beggar in the world's eyes, but he was a Christian. And according to the Word of God, this dear child of God, this gentleman by the name of Lazarus, according to the Word of God, the Bible teaches tonight in verse 22 that when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. In verse number 25, and Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Can I tell you tonight that if you die without Christ, It's not going to be a life of a party. Amen. It's not going to be, well, I'm going to sell ice water in hell. You're not going to do no such thing, neighbor. If you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell and you will be in torment and you will be in pain forever. Pastor, what are you getting at tonight? What I'm trying to get across tonight, church, is if you are born again tonight, we do not have to go to hell. We do not go to hell. And thank God tonight, we're not going to go out in no graveyard and sleep tonight. Amen? Romans 8 and 10 says, "For if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you." Pastor, what are you telling me tonight? I'm telling you tonight, church, that upon the rapture of the church, there will be a resurrection of the dead in Christ shall rise first, according to the word of God. And I want you to know tonight that God will give it a new body. Pastor, what are you saying tonight? If I die tonight, Pastor, what kind of body do I have? You have a spiritual body in heaven. Amen? Let me help you tonight with that. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 38. I want you to see here tonight, the Bible says, "But God giveth it a body with as it hath pleased him, and every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds." In verse 40, watch this. "There are also celestial bodies." What's that mean, preacher? Heavenly bodies. "There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies." What's a terrestrial body? You're looking at it. An earthly body. A body of clay. A house that I'm living in right now that one day will expire and it will go lay in the grave, but my spirit goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thank God Almighty. But the glory of one, the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. And one star different from another star in glory. Look in verse 42 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "So also is the resurrection of the dead." Let's stop right there at that period for a moment. Church, we're talking about the resurrection of the dead. What we're talking about is the rapture of the church. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, "The dead," in verse 16, "the dead in Christ shall rise first." Am I in the book? I hope you're paying attention tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption." What's that mean? My body is corrupt. Your body. I'm not trying to upset you, but your body is corrupt. There is plaque in your arteries. Amen. There are stones in your kidneys. You can't. God never intended for you to live in these bodies forever. Sister Linda, our bodies have sugar diabetes. It takes a toll. These bodies are corrupt. But this corrupt body is sown in corruption. Thank God. Pastor, what are you telling me? Look tonight on 42. Let's go back and pick that up. The resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption. Look at the last statement. It is raised in incorruption. You know what that means? Vernon, thank God tonight, diabetes won't have any control over that body. Cancer doesn't get a touch that body. Amen. Heart attacks. Bless the Lord, you can eat all the Reese cups you want to, hallelujah, and not have to worry about gaining an ounce in that glorified body. And it is raised in incorruption. In verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. Do you know our bodies have lied to us? Pastor, you might have to pray me out of here. What do you mean my body has lied to me? Well, your body has let you down from time to time. Yeah. Mine has. And if your body hadn't let you down yet, neighbor, you just ain't being truthful about it, all right? I mean, these times that, well, help me, dear Jesus. It is sown in dishonor. But look at this. In verse 43, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Not your power, but the power of the first fruit, the Spirit of God that lives in us. The Holy Ghost of God is what gets you up out of that ground after you have died. Listen now, I'm trying to preach to you tonight and teach to you tonight that first of all, when you die in Christ, you are not buried in the graveyard. Your body goes out there for a little while. Your body is at rest, but your spirit, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. We've got a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a natural body. Well, let me pick up verse 44. It is sown a natural body. You're living in a natural body. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Can I just stop right here and say, I can't wait to get my new body. Amen. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. When preacher? Remember in the book of Genesis? God breathed the breath, chapter 2, God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils and man became a living soul according to the word of God. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Who's the last Adam? Jesus Christ is the last Adam. He's not the second Adam. He's not the third Adam. He's the last Adam. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Adam was flesh. Amen. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, talking about the Lord Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. Amen. 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Let's stop right there a minute. Some of you have got worldly dispositions. We're attracted to the things of the world. Boy, oh boy, I've got a bunch of y'all looking at me cross-eyed. You say, preacher, not me. Well, you're just an old boring fuddy-duddy then. And you ain't being honest about it. There are things in this world that is attractive to this flesh. Yes, absolutely. Amen. Yes. Tommy, I don't know if y'all seen. Kelly showed me the other night. They're getting ready to start the rodeos again down Mason County. Hey, the rodeo. Amen. I love the rodeo. The rodeos. Amen. We talk about the ball games. You say, preacher, that don't mean nothing to you. Yeah. You let that grandkid of yours hit a home run, I bet you'll shout louder at the ball game than you do in church. Amen. Or the soccer field. Right. Sarah, I see you back here. She was waving at me, by the way, okay? Hey, man, God never put you on earth to be an old fuddy-duddy. Right. He saved you to give you life and more abundantly. We ought to be able to enjoy the things that God has given us. And what a blessing it is for these children and these. You know what? Somebody testified. Jan, Amy, Sarah it was, testified tonight that whenever little Montana was up here, whenever those little ones, it brings us joy to see God use those children. And you know, whenever Brother Jonathan Graham, Sister Amy came over here and preached that revival, he might have made some mistakes if some of you wanted to correct him. But you know what? I say amen, Brother Jonathan. Preach the word of God, young man. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying tonight we ought to enjoy this life that God has given unto us tonight. Amen. In verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Amen. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, listen now, we borne the image of the earthy. The older I get, the more I look like my dad. Amen. The older Kelly gets, the more she looks like Patty. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying tonight that we are bearing the image of the earthy. Sarah, do you think Jonathan looks like his dad the older he gets? Amen. Huh? She thought that today. Did you tell him or am I telling on you? Amen. I was thinking, Pastor, as we were over at Joe's Creek Missionary Baptist Church holding revival and your dad sat there on the front pew with us, I thought he's a spitting image. I was talking about Jonathan. He's a spitting image. We have bared the image of the earthy. What are you saying tonight, Pastor? Amen, amen, amen. Look in verse 49 after the first comma. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What's that mean, Pastor? Hold on a minute. I'm going to tell you in just a second. Just give me a minute, all right? In verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Now listen, this flesh bears the image of the earthy. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Write this down if you can't go there. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21. My timer's going off, but I'm going on. I'm almost done. Don't get nervous. Who shall change our vile body, this body of flesh, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not going to be slumped over, walking on your cane. Amen. If you die in a cast and on crutches, you're not going to be in heaven on crutches. Amen. Amen. Pastor, what are you telling me tonight? Grab your Bibles. Go with me. Well, help me, dear Jesus. The book of 1 John. The book of 1 John chapter 3. And hold your place right there. The book of 1 John chapter 3. I've got just about 10 more minutes and I'm going to wrap it up, okay? The book of 1 John chapter 3. But I want you to also go backwards to the Gospel of St. John chapter 20. Because I want you to see this tonight. That after the Christian dies, there is a change. Pastor, what do you mean by that? The book of the Gospel according to St. John chapter 20 and verse number 11 tonight. When you find that, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. That's simply saying she stood outside of the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had, past tense, lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Look with me in verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Why would she not know that it was Jesus? He had a new body. He was glorified. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. Now stop. She walked with him. She talked with him. She worshipped him. Saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Pastor, what are you telling me tonight? I want you to get a hold to this tonight as much as you possibly can. Jump down to verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I heard Brother Joe Author make this statement. They had 20/20 vision. That's John chapter 20, verse 20. When they had saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Watch this now, church. And when ye had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Let me stop right here and offer a parenthetical statement on these two scriptures. Jesus never gave you any power to forgive sins. The Pope does not have power to forgive sins. Jesus gave this directly to his apostles, his disciples that had walked with him and that were there in the upper room. Amen. Preacher, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. That's what the King James Bible says tonight. Amen. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see, and except I shall see in his hand the print of his nails, and put my fingers into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Watch this, church. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Look now. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Preacher, what's that mean, the doors being shut? He walked right through the wall. How'd he do that? He didn't have a body at that time of earthy resemblance. He had a heavenly body. He had a spiritual body. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Go with me to 1 John, last scripture. I'm not going to promise. 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Amy, if you all can come, somebody come and get us a song, please. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But I want you to get a hold of verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. He's talking to the Christian church. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You don't know what you're going to look like. I don't know what I'm going to look like. Look at the last part of this after the colon. But we know that when he shall appear, when is that? Stop right there. When is he going to appear? When the trump of God shall sound, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When the trump of God shall sound, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is when he shall appear. When he shall appear, we shall be like, say that again, him. For we shall see him as he is. Pastor, what are you saying tonight? What I'm telling you, child of God, is hang on. It's all about to get better. Amen. Preacher, what if I die before the rapture? You get to beat me home. You got Bible for that? I didn't give you all kinds of Bible for that. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, preacher, it's talking about the rapture. What if I die before the rapture? What if I die tonight and Jesus doesn't come back until 2029? Well, you know what's going to happen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down around verse 8, if I'm not mistaken, choosing rather to be absent from the body. He's dying in that statement. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Preacher, what am I going to have when I get to heaven? You're going to have a spiritual body. You say, preacher, am I going to be able to walk on gold? Stop. John, I told you, I wasn't going to promise. Revelation chapter 4. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He looked and he saw, what did he see? He saw a throne. He saw one sitting upon the throne with white raiment. Amen? Eyes like fire. Listen to what I'm saying tonight. John, or Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the scene left the earth and now it's in heaven. So John is telling us what he saw in heaven. We go on through that. He saw the Lord on the throne. And you know what else he saw? He saw 24 elders. I believe those elders had arms. Preacher, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. Let's set things straight. The Bible says that they cast their crowns. So if they didn't have arms, how'd they cast their crowns? They had mouths. Preacher, I don't believe they had mouths. The Bible teaches that they worshiped the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying tonight is, think about this tonight. It is better to be a child of God than it is to be a sinner that is destined for hell. Amen. Amen. Sown in weakness, raised in power. You know what that power is? It is the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit of God. Stand with me tonight, please, around the church this evening. What do you have, Miss Amy?